Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
And welcome to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks Miller of Healthy Cells Magazine, the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and your host of this radio program. And we are welcoming back Greg Skibinski. Our last show was about shame, and this is part two of that show. And we're thrilled to have Greg because this is a hot topic. A lot of us deal with shame in one way or another. It's things that we're holding on to, and that's what he's going to help us walk through today. Now, if you're tuning in and you're new, let me introduce Greg to you. Greg is the executive director for all the Agape counseling groups in Peoria, Morton, and Bloomington offices. He specializes in working with individuals and their spouses with regards to chemical and behavioral abuse and dependency issues, but also shame. That's what we're talking about. So, Greg, thanks for coming back into the studio and further discussing this topic.
Yes, yes. Thanks for having me again.
So let's recap just a bit from show one. And now, if you haven't heard show one, you can go to the podcast on Healthy Cells Magazine. So you might want to catch that first part and then listen again to this one that will also be a podcast. So, but now, Greg, why is it important to talk about shame?
You know, Carl Jung once said that shame is a soul-eating emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that place that we I think that shame is something that every one of us, mm-hmm. you know, can relate to because we all have it. And yet it's the things that we hold on to and that we don't want to discuss. We
right.
don't want to share with other people because it kind of not only opens us up for what other people might say or what they might think of us, but we tend to hold on to it. And when we hold on to it in a negative sense, it carries a tremendous amount of weight and power that kind of in a way it doesn't let us to be our true self.
Mm-hmm. No, you know? Transparency.
Right, in terms of who we want really to kind of be. And I think it was also said too that shame really kind of corrodes the part of us that – believes that we can change or do better. So it kind of binds us in a way. Because mm-hmm. if we hold on to this, you know, we may not try something or try something new because shame kind of keeps us in a place and tells us, yeah, don't waste your time. You can't do that. You know, you're not worthy of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really kind of, you know.
Yeah, very negative self-talk.
Right. Right.
You know, now one thing, and I'd like to share this again with the audience that we talked about last week, about the difference between shame and guilt. I think that was a real eye opener.
Yeah, that's a big difference. You know, shame fills our head with the message that I am bad, like I am a bad person. And guilt is more kind of fills our head with the message that I did something that was bad. It's more of the action. It's a mistake, something that you may have done wrong. So a lot of times by apologizing, making an amends, sharing it with some other people, we can kind of relieve that guilt. And you know, one of the thing is that I think we were talking a little bit before we came on air, guilt can be a good thing. It can kind of be a good tool because when we feel guilty that we have said the wrong thing or we've done something wrong, that might cause us to try to do something better about it. And you know, and I think that people still kind of subscribe to the notion that shame is a good tool for kind of keeping people in line. Like I remember still kind of the message out there that I was told when I was younger, shame on you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that was even the tone that it kind of came across to me too, being a kid, shame on you. And then you just kind of feel defeated with that, you know, with that message. And I think it's really dangerous because a lot of research that's been done in terms of shame kind of talks about a high correlation that between shame with addiction, shame with violence, shame with aggression in people, shame as far as kind of causing depression and holding on to that, especially when it's like year or it could even be generational. You're holding on to for shame from something that might have occurred in your family generations ago, but you don't talk about it. So you can have generational shame as well. Shame is also involved in eating disorders, and shame is also involved in bullying.
It's a root of a lot of things, isn't it?
It really is.
And it comes to no good.
Right. And yet shame is the thing that we don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Because we're ashamed.
Because we're ashamed too. Exactly.
Well, let's just end this interview right now then.
No. But we're trying to break the chains.
Yeah, we're breaking the chains. Exactly. So, well, share with us, how do we develop resistance to shame?
You know, and I think that, again, like, what would we do? How do we dissolve that shame, that feeling that we got, right? There's a part in our hearts that nobody knows, something that might have happened years ago or maybe not that long ago. How do we release that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that goes back to the whole about trying to find that one person that you can kind of be very vulnerable with, one person that you really extremely trust. And you got to be careful with that, because I think that this is where a lot of people get hurt and wounded, is that they share information looking for that empathy, because the empathy is really the key that kind of dissolves the shame. It can't last. So we're out there and we're looking and we're trying to find that one person that we think we can share our shame story with. But what ends up happening is it's dangerous if it's the wrong person.
Right. Or the person could tell somebody else and then it just becomes a
horrible
situation.
Right. Or, you know, what happens is like if I were to share a shame story with you and you come back at me, not that you would, but, you know, you come back and one of the messages is, oh, that's not bad. You know, here, let me tell you something that that's not what that person
the
needs
one up
to
thing.
Hear.
Right.
The one up. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now I know you've been talking about Brené Brown.
Yes.
And what a neat, dynamic lady she is. And we were even talking a little bit about her off air. So now what are the 12 shame categories that have emerged from her work?
Well, it has to do with appearance and body image. We kind of talked a little bit about that in the first show, especially that's a biggie for women and for some guys too. Money and work, that's kind of tends to be more and maybe – I think I'm trying to stereotype here, and I don't want to do that. But like guys, that's kind of a big thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. Motherhood and fatherhood, family, parenting, parental styles, how people parent, mental and physical health. They don't, you know, a lot of times people hold on to that, you know, like what's really going on within them and how bad things are because they don't want to make other people feel bad. But if they were just share that with somebody else, they can get the support that they really need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an understanding. That's kind of a personal one for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction, you know, we just don't go there. You know, like if I am involved in some real illegal substances or if I'm like, you know, in terms of like sex addiction, you know, pornography use or getting on the internet, you're going to hold that within. That's not something that you're going to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a shame piece to that.
Mm-hmm.
Aging,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that effect on us and kind of, you know, looking in the mirror and seeing things a little differently, right? Yeah. And or even like for me, my memory, you know, as I'm kind of I tell my clients now, is it okay if I take notes as we're kind of meeting in our session? Because I'm getting older and you know what? It kind of just helps me to kind of stay on track.
Sure.
But that's an age kind of thing, you know, because
sure.
I used to I still am sharp. But anyway, religion, because it's so personal for people, you know, that there's some aspects in line with that, you know, surviving a trauma. Going back to the childhood stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
something, survival skills or things that happened or occurred to a person. You know, again, it's those shoe boxes that we had talked about.
Right.
People tend to have these shoe boxes within their heart of things that they are able to compartmentalize, but they just don't. They know it's there. They just don't want to talk about it. Can't share that with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then being stereotyped or labeled.
Could you give an example of that?
Sure. You know, and I guess what happens is I'm thinking back to like high school because I think that's a lot, you know.
High school and grade school and kids are vicious.
Oh, yeah. 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 They really can be, you know. So being stereotyped or labeled a certain thing, like, you know, for me, it was kind of like the Breakfast Club. You had the jock, you had the prep, you had the geek, you know, and that kind of thing. Those stereotypes. You know, where, you know, it's just so hard to be yourself that let alone if there's a label that's put on top of that, you know, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're just trying to fit in.
Right.
Right.
Like nobody who wants to be, you know, that kind of like the whole – I'm thinking of the movie Revenge of the Nerds back from the 80s at the end where they come out and they – nerds take a stand, you know. If you've ever been called, you know, a
stand
geek.
Stand up with
and,
us.
Yeah, come out here.
I love that movie, by the way.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, and
you know?
The Breakfast Club. So, yeah, and we're showing our age, Greg, that's for sure. So at this point, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells, and we are talking about shame. And we're with Greg Skibinski, who has so much insight into this and can really help you if you are struggling with this. We'll be right back.
Feeling depressed or wrestling with an addiction? Please know that you are not alone and there is help. Agape Counseling has Christian counselors, social workers, psychologists, and support staff committed to a therapeutic process that ministers to you, the whole person. They can assist you and your family in your pursuit to become all of who we are created to be. With three locations in Peoria, Morton, and Bloomington, Illinois, Agape Counseling looks forward to the opportunity to serve you. Visit them online at agapecounselors.net or call 309-263-5565.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically-related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria Metro Area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
And welcome back to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, and my special guest today is Greg Skibinski. And this is a part two of a two series on shame. And boy, is this a great topic. Greg is executive director with Agape Counseling, so he knows his stuff, and his team does too. Now, Greg, we were talking about the categories, the shame categories that emerged. What are some of the common examples of shame that a person may have?
Well, you know, And I guess, too, I'm kind of bringing this into the room from experiences that I've had with my clients. Like when shame comes into the room, you can see it within the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it can manifest itself in forms of like anxiety and depression. But when you really start to talk with the person, they start kind of sharing and they feel that level of trust and security that they're in a safe place. Shame really starts to kind of come out and manifest its ways in a wide array of different things. So shame could be getting laid off from work and then having to tell your spouse. We talked about an example of that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Shame could be also getting a DUI, you know, and getting pulled over and driving. That's something that you may not want everyone to know.
Or a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that.
Exactly. Shame, looking at pornography on the internet. Shame is my spouse leaving me for someone else, you know, in a sense of like, you know, you don't want everybody to know. Shame is my boss calling me an idiot in front of a client or another coworker. Shame is bankruptcy. Shame is raging at kids, you know, your own kids. You kind of could be a terrible day or it could be just a really stressful day for you and you say the wrong thing and you rage. Shame is hiding the fact that you might be in recovery from an addiction or you might be working in a 12-step program.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to stop you right there mm-hmm. for a second. That reminds me, you know, Greg, we did the show on sexual addiction.
Yeah.
A few months back, and probably we need to revive that because that is still such a hot topic too. But I remember you saying that if somebody is a recovering alcoholic and like if somebody goes to a party and they say, well, I'm not drinking because this, most people are like, oh, pretty cool.
Supportive.
Most people would be supportive.
Right.
Some will be jerks and be like, oh, come on or something.
Yeah.
Then you know they're not your real friends.
Right.
But like with the sexual addiction,
yeah.
if somebody said that,
yeah.
I'm recovering from, they just don't get it.
Right. Right.
So I can see where there may be even different levels of shame.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, but still, you know, the key thing about it is that shame corrodes the part of us that believes that we can change and do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not going to open up. I'm not going to share that part if I think that I'm going to get shame back. You know, so I'm just going to kind of tuck it away and hold on to it. And again, the longer that you hold on to that stuff, the more power that it gets. You know, the secrets. Addiction thrives in secrecy.
Right.
Why? Because you don't tell people. You don't talk about the behaviors that you had in the past, you know, or exactly maybe what your specific behaviors were.
Mm-hmm.
And so that holds a spot within your heart. You know, it's a dark place. And so that's where the shame resides. And it's like, you know, it gives you that message that you can't share that with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in reality, that message does.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find that person, you know, that who's empathetic, that you can be vulnerable and open up with, and you share that, the shame dissolves because you let it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the previous show, we talked about kind of self-compassion and also kind of like the self-intimacy part, you know, about kind of learning. A lot of times, too, I'm working with clients, helping them to learn how to forgive themselves. Because if you can't forgive yourself, then you're not going to be able to forgive other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is about kind of forgiving yourself for those dark areas that you're holding on to within your heart. And by simply even kind of like if you're, you know, going faith and spiritual, you take it to God. You know, you kind of learn how to put that stuff into God's hands
mm-hmm.
and let Him do with it.
Right. Right.
So a lot of times, even through that self-forgiveness, you know, it's not only we're wanting to get that forgiveness from ourselves, but we want that forgiveness from God too, because He really wants us to be joyous, happy, and free. You know, He wants us to laugh.
Right. And we do that,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. Now, what about some of the other lists of shame, like infertility? Would that be a shame?
Oh, absolutely. You know, like, you know, couples who are experiencing that and are having difficulties, you know, and then, you know, you might get that family member who might be really kind of like curious and concerned, like, hey, how's that going? And if it's not, boom, that's where shame kind of results. Is
mm-hmm.
it is it me? Is it, you know, all the self-doubt, you know, it just kind of builds within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shame is also kind of one example that kind of came up, you know, telling your fiance that your dad lives in another country because they've never met, but come to find out that dad is actually in prison somewhere else. You know, it's that thing that you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to let them know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shame is hearing your parents fight, you know, and you're in the next room and you're hearing it in your own bedroom, you know, but yet you can't. You're hearing all the things that are being said, but you don't share that with friends. You don't share that with maybe even your parents, you know, and those things. You tuck that away.
Mm-hmm.
And so like even like just the examples that we're giving, you know, and probably somebody out there, they may be able to relate to one of these or they may be able to relate to several of them. What happens? All of that starts to roll down the hill, and it all kind of builds up within our hearts that really we have to find a way to kind of break that, break those chains. We got to find a way of releasing that and getting out of that.
Mm-hmm. And it's taking that step.
Right.
As wants to do. And, you know, one of the things in the material that, you know.
Which takes courage.
Oh, absolutely.
A tremendous amount of courage and bravery in order to kind of be able to do that and to actually share that with someone. Because you really – even if it is somebody who you really do trust and can be vulnerable with, you're still taking a tremendous amount of risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think that if you have that right person, that risk is so worth it.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the information that you had sent over, one of the points that you made that – and I remember this growing up with a particular little friend of mine. But shame is avoiding having your friends come over to your house.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not sure if your parent is going to be sober or not.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
So like when everybody is going over to all the other friends' house to play games or video games or just to hang out or whatever.
Or spend the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're the one always going over to other friends' house, but yet you never invite anybody over to your own home
mm-hmm.
to let them see your room or to kind of hang out because of that.
Right.
You know, you're not knowing, you know, who's going to be there or what's going on or –
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, why is shame such a painful experience?
You know, and I think with that, I want to kind of give a definition here that Brené Brown, who we've talked about many times, her definition, and she describes shame's power this way. She says that shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. It is the fear that something that we've done or failed to do, an ideal that we've not lived up to, or a goal that we've not accomplished, that makes us unworthy of connection. The I'm not worthy or good enough for love, belonging, or connection. I'm unlovable, I don't belong, and I am weak. Those are the internal messages that kind of the shame carries with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the core of all those boxes. Of all those shoe boxes. And, you know, we're designed, our bodies, we're hardwired for connection with people.
Absolutely.
And these shameful things, the thoughts, the, you know, the deeds, whatever they might be, that kind of prevents that connection from others. It's the disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the power that it has, and it grows, you know, in its ability to kind of keep us disconnected from other people. Because if people found out about this, they're going to see or challenge that I'm not who I am, or I'm unlovable, or they're going to look at me differently, and they don't want to do that, you know, or they're going to perceive me. You know, that's the other part. It's kind of like that, the assumption, we get it in our own minds of how we think people are going to perceive us, you know.
And that's where we can be our own worst enemy.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I tell my clients, and we kind of kid around about this, and I was like, wow, if you are that good and you could read minds, please let me know what the lottery numbers are going to be on Saturday.
Yeah, right.
I have tuition to pay for. I could really appreciate it. I mean, if you're really that good. You know, and it, so it's about kind of breaking through those messages, because you know what? God, again, he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be connected. We are lovable. We are worthy. God, he created us in his own likeness and image.
Exactly.
You know, so it's kind of like all these, you know, the sins of our past, or all these lies and messages that, you know, Satan's trying to use his arrows just to bring us down.
Exactly.
And there's nothing more that he would like us to see balled up on the couch, in that fetal position, depressed, anxious, and withdrawn from everybody. You know, that's what his goal is. It's definitely not God's.
You know, Greg, just briefly, I know you mentioned shoeboxes a couple of times during our show here, and you really kind of gave the definition in the first show. Could you just briefly go over that, is what your interpretation and how the shoebox is used?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like going back that sometimes we'll experience. It might be like one of the things that I had mentioned before about, you know, maybe somebody as a child. Let's use that example. So I don't have friends that come over because I don't know what the environment is going to be like when they come home, whether if I have a parent who drinks, and that might be, or there might be arguing, or who knows. So you don't do those things. You don't invite your friends over. But yet that has a feeling within you. You would like to, but you don't. So you hold on to that. And there's reasons for that. And that's what you tuck away. That's what you kind of place in that shoebox, you know, that you don't tell your friend, hey, the reason is because you don't open yourself up to that, because maybe it's that you want to protect the identity of the family, you know, that there's that, you know, family kind of motto of the don't talk, don't feel. You know, if you talk about something, then you got to have the feelings that go along with it. But if you don't talk about it, then you don't have to have the emotions and the feelings of that as well. You can truncate it and cut it. So what do? You store that in those boxes. And over time, if you don't have, or if you don't go to God, or if you don't have that friend that you can share that and be empathetic, get that empathetic ear back, you hold on to that stuff. So as the years go on, there's other things that kind of tend to add up in those other shoeboxes, and it just occupies such a big space in your heart, you know, and it's a dark cloud. And so when that dark cloud is in there and those shoeboxes are there, you can't enjoy joy to the fullest. You can't experience that.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there other reasons why shame is so difficult to talk about, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of goes along the lines of, you know, again, the biggie, I think, is the perceptions of other people, like what other people are going to say or what they might think of you, how they're going to judge you. Or it could be that, you know, what they're going to think of my family. You know, or other people, where they might think of my spouse, or what they might think of my kids, or what they might think of a grandparent, or others. So it could be that the shame is there, that you don't talk about it because in some way you think that it's like a form. You want to protect other people.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to hurt them.
Don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, but what you do is you take on the burden of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned earlier that generational stuff, you know, that, you know, maybe you had a you know, somebody in your family had done some kind of big thing, was, you know, had started a fire or something like that and caused serious injury or death to someone, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about Uncle So-and-so, you know, so it can be generational.
Yeah. You know, Greg, we're going to have to close here, and this is such a great topic. Do you have any final words of advice for the listenership?
I do. You know what? And it is a thing that we do. We all carry shame. We all have it, but we have to do something with it and not hold on to it, I mean. We have to find a way of kind of being able to express that, whether if it's to ourselves or to be vulnerable and find somebody that we can share that with or get into therapy.
right,
or a group and hear of other people with similar circumstances too, because that all dissolves the shame.
Mm-hmm. And with that therapy, that is where your group can come in.
Absolutely.
And help. So, you know, if you are listening to this and your heart is really heavy and this show has really hit you, or you know of some people that are really hurting and this could be their problem or their challenge, you know, it might be very good just to reach out and give a call to Greg or another very good counseling group that's in the area. And we do have the phone number here that you can call. So for the Morton office, it's 263-5565. The Peoria location is 692-4433. And in Bloomington, the number is 663-2229. And you can also go online to their website at agapecounselors.net. But to reach Greg, you can call him personally at 263-5565. And again, Greg, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and discussing this. And again, special thanks to Greg Skibinski, who's the executive director for the Agape Counseling, serving the Morton, Peoria, and Bloomington, Illinois areas. And thank you to all of you who tuned in this week and for sharing your time with us. My name is Kim Brooks-Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, hosting Healthy You. Be sure to pick up your copy of the magazine. It's going to be coming out. And actually, Greg's article on shame is coming out soon in the March issue. And you can now read the magazine online, too, and have it sent monthly to your email. Just go to HealthyCellsMagazine.com, select the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and sign up. And be sure to visit and like us on Facebook, too. And for those of you who have, thank you, because we are now at over 2,000 likes. God bless you and be in your best health now. We look forward to being with you again next Saturday.
Depressed or wrestling with an addiction? Please know that you are not alone and there is help. Agape Counseling has Christian counselors, social workers, psychologists, and support staff committed to a therapeutic process that ministers to you, the whole person. They can assist you and your family in your pursuit to become all of who we are created to be. With three locations in Peoria, Morton, and Bloomington, Illinois, Agape Counseling looks forward to the opportunity to serve you. Visit them online at agapecounselors.net or call 309-263-5565.